Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Shakedown, a podcast by corrections, about corrections, and for corrections. I'm your host, Aaron Dawson, the warden at Morgan County. Glad to be with you again today. I hope that as you've been listening to this podcast, that it's been informative, that it's been enjoyable, that you've got something out of it. If this is your first time of listening to The Shakedown, welcome to the show. Glad to have you. Glad to have you with us. I'm real excited about the episode today. Doing something a little different. By the way, we've got some plans to do a whole bunch of different things in the near future. So stay tuned for that. Excited about that. But anyway, this morning, I'm going to touch on the topic of contraband. Now, every one of us, if we work in a jail, we work in a prison, we deal with contraband. Some of that contraband, it can be downright dangerous, and in some cases, it can even be deadly. And so not only are we having to be vigilant if we're talking about contraband, but specifically when we talk about drugs or narcotics, not only are we having to be vigilant about traditional or regular drugs, if you will, but now we're having to watch out for a host of new things. I mean, you think about drugs that come in small strips like Suboxone or even paper soaked in some narcotic substance. I mean, the creativity is out there, and we're having to up our efforts to keep that stuff out of our facilities because of the danger that it presents to our inmate population. If they get high on this stuff, the danger that it presents to the staff. I mean, so we've got to be vigilant. And how do we combat this increased and creative methodology of getting this stuff in our jail? I mean, sure, we put in property and we put in mail restrictions. Maybe we get a personnel or a body scanner that everybody that comes into the building, they have to go through that body scanner. Maybe we add mail or property scanners that everything that comes in the facility, not just the people, get scanned, but every object, if you will, or every piece of mail that comes in has got to be scanned. Maybe we put in more stringent search procedures, whether it be in the booking room, or whether it be inmate workers that are coming in and out of the building, or inmate movement throughout the facility. But bottom line, we've got to do something. And every one of us, I'm believing, are looking for ways to do what we do, but also to do it better. Well, recently I had the opportunity to cross paths with some folks from Chelan County Regional Justice Center in Wenatchee, Washington. And in conversing with them, it was interesting to hear that they, like so many of us, have had a contraband problem, had a huge contraband problem. And a problem that was big enough, they decided, okay, we have got to do something about it. And when I met with them, I was discussing with them a solution that they had been utilizing for the last two and a half years that has been working phenomenally for them. And that new solution was a jail canine. Now, when I heard about the program, before I talked to these guys, I'll be honest, my first thought was that they must have a massive facility with a massive inmate population and probably a massive budget to go along with it. I mean, a jail canine? I mean, who can afford that? How can you make that happen? But after talking to them, I figured out and I learned I was wrong. They house less than 300 inmates, and they were able to accomplish getting this jail canine with some creativity, with some help from the community, and a whole lot of tenacity. Now, I'm excited to welcome to the Shakedown Director Chris Sharp, Sergeant Reagan, and Deputy Lewis to share with us their stories. They're joining us by phone today. So, Director Sharp, let's start with you. If you could you give us a little background into what led to this program? What was it that prompted you to request a canine? And also, could you kind of fill us in on how is the program working? Is it being effective?
Oh, thank you, Mr. Dawson, for the good questions. Thank you for allowing us to be on your podcast. We are pretty proud of our program here, but the history behind it, as far as a little background into what led to this program, we're like any other correctional facility across the United States of America is dealing with contraband within their facilities. The incarcerated individuals have figured out ways to smuggle drugs and contraband into their body and or through the mail. There wasn't a day in our facility pretty much before we started our drug interdiction program where you didn't smell marijuana on a daily basis. When we had our interim director come in, we talked to him about starting a drug interdiction program, and our drug interdiction program consisted of three things that we needed to work on. One first thing we talked about was getting a body scanner, just like you have at the airports that you go through when you go to the airport. The second was a mail screener that screens for different types of drugs being mailed into the facility. And the third one was our canine program. And with our interim director at the time, he was retired State Patrol, and he had a person for us to reach out with to figure out how to start a canine program. We knew that the canine program would be the solid base for the drug interdiction program as far as being three parts, because what the bail screener or the body scanner didn't pick up, we would be able to utilize the canine in both these instances. It took a lot of work to get that going, but I'll let Sergeant Reagan talk about that. And as far as how's the program working for us, we are only the second county or municipal jail in the state with a canine program, or a drug dog. K9 Kate and Deputy her handler, Deputy Lewis, have been a home run for our facility. She has found drugs in the mail that the mail screener didn't find. We've utilized her for searches of cells when we thought there might be something that was missed through the body scanner and somehow got into the cells, which we have had some success with that because our staff are only human and we make mistakes as well. We've come to find out that the dog makes very little mistakes. They're trained very well, and as I tell Jacob Lewis, our canine handler, all the time, this is one of the most proudest programs that we've put together since I've been working here at the facility and become the director 2 years ago.
Wow, that's pretty awesome. That is pretty awesome. Now, Director Sharp, I'm sure that after you received the approval to proceed with getting this jail canine, that there was some, what do we do now, kind of questions. And from our previous conversation, Sergeant Reagan, I understand that you were very heavily involved in the development process of this canine, especially in the selection process of who is going to be this canine deputy on this brand new program. Can you tell us a bit about that selection process? Who was it helps you, and how did you come to the decision that this person isn't the right person and this person is?
Yeah, thanks for having us today, Mr. Dawson. Basically, my involvement in this is a brand new position, or it's only been a position of support services for the last 3 years, and this was actually one of the first things that was thrown on my desk that we wanted to get going. As the director said, this was the first project given. We didn't have a blueprint for it, only second jail in the state. And the beginning was really important. The jail director at the time, Bill Larson, he had some contacts that I used. The contact that I used was a Washington State trooper that he had an opportunity to work with pretty closely in his career there. And so I went down to some regional training in Ellensburg, Washington, and this was my first contact with any canine officers, and Paul Woodside was our contact with the patrol. And so I went down there, set that up, and they had a bunch of handlers down there doing training one day, and he introduced me to an individual named Murray Cox out of the Washington State Department of Corrections. And we wanted to make sure and get hooked up with somebody that actually did this in the corrections side of it. And Murray was our guy. He had 25 plus years of experience in the prison system. And he was just a wealth of knowledge. He actually became our blueprint for this. He was sending me the information that I needed. Provided me with DOC's policy and procedures on canines in corrections. He explained to me how dogs worked, how they worked with their handlers, how important it is to select the right person. Someone who understands. We had to select somebody that understood. Now you're dealing with living, breathing object, I guess. I guess I shouldn't refer to the dog as an object, but it's a big responsibility, and the person that accepts that responsibility, that's their dog for years to come. So choosing the right person, that was a huge focus for me, because I knew I needed that person to be the focal point. They needed to be bought into this program, and I wanted to make sure that person was going to be bought in, because this thing would have fallen on its face, and we couldn't afford to do that. I worked with Murray on putting the interview process together, along with himself and one of the deputies from our sheriff's department downstairs, Chelan County Sheriff's Office. They had a canine officer that I had known for quite some time. I asked him to be a part of this interview board, and so he, myself, and Murray were a three-man board, and Jacob came in, and I'm telling you right now, he left no doubts that he was that right person. Since he became the canine officer, I've just witnessed him. I work with him every day. His office is right next to mine. Every day, he just continuously makes this program better. I'll let him speak to how he's done that, because it is quite a process. So not only has he been named our canine, but he's also been the main person behind the rest of the drug interdiction program. As the director stated, he's been integral in training on the body scanner. He's kind of our guru on that now, and also the trainer on our male scanner. So the three-prong system has just been a beautiful thing. It's been working great. As the director said, drugs has just become few and far between, and it's been great.
Sergeant Reagan, I appreciate that. So, after all of that, you came to the decision that you had the man for the job. So I guess now we get to the star of the show, if you will, and her handler, Deputy Lewis. Deputy Lewis, welcome, welcome to the Shakedown. And if you could you introduce us to your partner? Perhaps if you could give us a glance into what a normal day looks like for you, for a jail canine team.
Definitely, Mr. Dawson, and thank you again for having us on your program and allowing us to share this, our process and everything that we've been able to accomplish in our facility with having our drug interdiction program. K9K is my partner. She is a six-year-old border collie. We actually just recently found out that Kate is a purebred border collie. Kate has a social media following, and one of her followers bought us a DNA test, because I had mentioned that prior to us doing the DNA test that she was a mix, and I was always curious to see what her mix was. So we had one of her followers actually purchase a DNA test for Kate. We performed the test, sent it away, came back with the results, and found out that she was a purebred border collie. So that was definitely a pleasant surprise. Again, she's 6 years old. She's been with us since November of 2020. She originated from a rescue out of Quincy, Washington. She was originally being trained to do herding work. Unfortunately, she did not make a very good farm dog. We found out that the reason that was is because she's scared of sheep and cows and things like that, so she's super skittish around the larger animals. But her lack of being able to do farm work was our benefit for narcotics work. She spent 2 years after leaving the rescue with a handler out of Tulalip PD. That handler since moved on. He, I believe, transferred to a different agency. However, Tulalip advised us that, or advised the training facility, that he was not going to be able to take Kate with him. And so Kate went back to a training facility, and that's where I got paired with her, and we've been together ever since. Our daily routine is fairly simple. I would say when we came back after we certified, and we just jumped waist deep into everything, and we were doing cell searches, we were helping staff with jail inspections, going through walkthroughs, just making an officer presence to show our population, hey, we have a drug canine. We're going to find your contraband. It may not be today, and it may not be tomorrow, but at some point, we're going to come through, we're going to do a search, and we're going to find it. And so it was very officer present oriented, I would say even at a reactive point, because we were still dealing with the drug issue. Now that our drugs have drastically decreased in our facility, we've become a more proactive, taking a more proactive stance in what we do. So our daily routine turned from being on the floors a lot more to being in an office. When I clock in or when I get on shift, the first thing I do is I take a look at the bookings. Either if it's from my weekend, I take a look at the weekend bookings. Obviously, I just look at all the new bookings that come in. I take a look at the logs from that occurred during my time away from the facility, so I can get an idea of what was going on. And just focus on areas that I need to keep an eye on. I spend part of the day listening to phone calls, watching video visitations. Usually in the afternoon, Kate and I go over to the main facility and we search mail. Our mail scanner is a fantastic tool, but it's a piece of technology. It's a tool. It's not 100%. But what the mail scanner hasn't found, Kate's been able to detect. And one example comes to mind is we had searched the mail back in February. Kate had alerted to a letter, opened up the letter, and it had a fake flap on the envelope, and it contained 3 strips of Suboxone. I put it in our mail scanner to try to get a presumptive identification. However, even though you could see with the backlighting on the envelope, you could see the strips, this mail scanner still failed to detect the substance inside. But I knew it was there, Kate knew it was there, so we were able to keep it out of the facility. When we're not doing mail, the other thing too is I'm walking around the jail. I do assist with some other tasks, like meal service, things like that. Occasionally, I do help court team out, our court and transport team out with escorting people to and from court, and that gives me an opportunity to interact with our jail population to get information about new and current drug trends that's happening out on the street. It allows me an opportunity to gain a rapport with those individuals and possibly get information about what's going on in the main facility, since I'm not over there as much as I used to be. Another aspect about my job is public relations. I had stated earlier that Kate has a social media, so I run 2 social media pages for Kate. I run an Instagram and a TikTok for her, which helps gain support for her. It also surprisingly helps fund our program as well. Our program is primarily community funded, so naturally my position rolls into public relations. So I'm actively finding new ways to get out into community, to share our program, to share the professions about the profession of corrections with the community. A lot of people don't have any idea what we do behind the walls, and Kate has opened that door. We've been able to participate in community events like our area Apple Blossom Festival. We get to participate in parades. We get to do like their Youth Day in the Park. We've participated in our Touch a Truck event, which is one of my favorite events. Kate and I also do school demos. We get to, just a few days ago, Kate and I got to go and do a school demo for a 4th grade class out of OMAC, Washington, and we're already scheduled to do some summer day camps with the YMCA as well. We also do presentations and demos for Rotary Clubs, Kiwanis Clubs, Lions Clubs, things, those types of groups, to educate the community that the jail has a canine program. This is what we do for the community, things like that. Out of scope, We do occasionally agency assists. We make ourselves available to our juvenile corrections. We recently just did a search for the Washington State juvenile group home in our area. We were able to assist them in identifying common hiding spots due to kids' ability to alert and detect those odors where they tend to keep certain drugs, specifically marijuana, most of the time hidden in the facility. So we were able to identify those hiding spots for them. We are working with our school SROs to become more of an active part and a resource for them to be utilized in school, because Kate does have elective odors compared to most of the other patrol narcotics dogs. She's able to more effectively assist them and be a better resource for that. So I wear a lot of different hats for this position. It does take a lot of time. I spend a lot of hours doing what I do. Kate's always with me 24 hours a day. She goes home with me, but it's definitely a rewarding position, and I'm extremely grateful that Director Sharp and Sergeant Reagan and even former Director Bill Larson had faith in me and selected me for the position and gave me the opportunity to do this. So it's definitely been a wild ride, and I've appreciated it every step of the way that I've been able to help develop this program.
Well, that is fantastic. Well, gentlemen, I want you to know that I greatly appreciate all three of you being willing to speak with us today and share your story. I greatly appreciate it. And to all of us, to me, to everybody else that's listening to the podcast, something to think about. Now, you know, that may not be a jail canine, may not be something that is as easily feasible, depending on where you are in the country, depending on the statutes and laws in your particular state or region, but it is definitely something to look into. Bottom line, we've got to constantly stay sharp. We've got to constantly stay on top of this contraband issue, specifically the growing at an alarming rate drug issue that we're having in this nation. And we've got to do something. We got to step up, and we got to look at those things. We can't go back to, well, we've always done it this way, and it's always worked for us in the past. No, culture changes, society changes, tactics change, so our tactics have got to change. Well, guys, I appreciate you being here today. I hope that that you've enjoyed this and maybe got some information, something that's thought-provoking, and maybe something that prompts a little digging to see what is exactly you can do in your area to step up your contraband game. But guys, as always, let's stay sharp, let's stay safe, and let's stay vigilant. Godspeed.